The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
As Europe's car sector, which supports up to 14 million jobs, continues to falter, Chinese companies are making rapid inroads into the market, causing concern about the future of the continent's own car industry. And new alliances are being formed with the Chinese. Are they coming to Europe to help or to effectively decimate what is there? Joining me now is Ian Henry, an automotive production expert and director of auto analysis consultancy. Ian, good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Now, there is enough evidence to show how well the Chinese are doing in the market at the moment. There are probably up to a dozen Chinese brands which are on sale in various countries throughout Europe. So they're already very competitive.
They certainly are. I think this year they'll probably take about 16% or so of the European market, possibly and higher here in the UK. But most of those are currently imported vehicles, or the overwhelming majority are imported vehicles, but that will change with production shifting to Europe.
Now, the reason for production to shift into Europe is, I suppose, fear that the EU will impose expensive tariffs on the cars, which might make them, if not unaffordable, certainly priced in comparison to the traditional European brands, and therefore...
Well, yes, but the EU imposed significant tariffs on Chinese electric vehicles a year or more ago of up to 35% on some brands, and so they have already been paying quite substantial tariffs on top of the standard 10% import tariff, and that hasn't actually really stopped the growth of
the brands. The question then is, Ian, are the Chinese dumping surplus production on Europe, or can they produce them at such a competitive price that they're just doing it better than Europe can?
Well, I hesitate to use the word dumping, but they are certainly more competitive than Europe, particularly in electric vehicles, because they've got greater scale and they have much more experience of doing so. They were first into EVs on a widespread basis. They have also secured supply chains of the essential materials that go into making up the batteries more quickly and at a better cost than the Europeans have done. But they are having to move into Europe because they are facing the increased tariffs, which are probably not sustainable in the long run, even if they do want to build market share. But also, new imminent rules within the EU under the Industry Accelerator Act or the Made in Europe policy will require companies to make their vehicles, particularly electric vehicles and their batteries, within the European Union in order to qualify for available market subsidies and to count towards corporate fleets for zero emissions calculations and so forth.
So currently you have a number of things going on. You've got the direct import of wholly assembled vehicles from China into Europe and being on sale in showrooms everywhere. And then you have the construction of Chinese factories. But the question is, will those simply be assembly lines where all the parts are made in China and then put together in Europe?
Well, I don't think it really will be the latter. They may start out as kit assembly operations, but in order to comply with local content rules, both under the new Industry Accelerator Act and also for Chinese vehicles made in Europe that would then within the EU to be exported, say, to the UK and vice versa, they would have to have a certain level of local content anyway. And so they will not in the long term be purely local assembly. It's a similar thing that happened with the Japanese when they arrived. The first Nissans that came off the assembly line in Sunderland were kits with predominantly Japanese parts, but that changed relatively quickly. And I think the same thing will happen with the Chinese. And they'll have a mixture of all new factories and some cases where they'll take over, existing factories, or they will do partnerships with car companies here.
And that brings me to the partnerships that already have been set up in an attempt to keep assembly lines, to keep them busy or to stop them from actually being shut down. Where have those partnerships arisen?
Well, BYD, which is probably the biggest Chinese EV company, they've opened a brand new factory in Hungary. Chery has taken over an old Nissan, a closed Nissan plant in Barcelona. And a small company, a newish company in the industry, Leap Motor, which is now part owned by Stellantis, which you will know as Peugeot, Citroen, Fiat. They are making or about to start making Leap Motor vehicles on the Stellantis line in Zaragoza in Spain. And then recently we have had Geely, which is another huge Chinese company which owns Volvo, amongst other things. They have bought 34% of the Ford factory in Valencia, and they will make vehicles there under their own name and supply vehicles or technology for Ford to make vehicles. And that will start within a couple of years, and there are more on the way.
Now, the fears probably from some people in the sector would be that the Chinese effectively will eat their lunch, that this is a kind of a Trojan horse coming in, forming these partnerships, but eventually they will take over.
Well, the same thing may have been said in the past about the Japanese and then the Koreans. Mm-hmm. And, you know, trying to be objective as an outsider, it's competition is in the real world. I mean, we as consumers don't seem to object to Chinese-made iPhones or Chinese-made computers or the chips in our computers coming out of China and so forth, or Chinese-made dishwashers, for example. So at the end of the day, unless the EU in particular, from your perspective, or the UK government from over here, decide to erect barriers to trade and ban imports entirely or ban investments in Europe by the Chinese, then they're going to come. And it's a matter of, at the end of the day, like in all markets, the most competitive companies are going to win. Now, of course, the Chinese car companies do have undoubtedly substantial benefit from their economic scale deriving from their home market and advantages in one form or another, whether it's attractive financing or other factors from the Chinese government.
Now, it's interesting that when you mentioned the Japanese cars came originally into these islands, Nissan, which was known as Datsun at the beginning, and then Toyota, one of the selling points was that they had a built-in radio. I mean, if you were buying a Ford or any of those, you had to buy the radio separately and it would be fitted in.
Yes.
And therefore, it was very stealable. The radio could be stolen from your car. But it meant that every European manufacturer started to supply a radio built-in. And every time you get a benefit coming from a newcomer, whether it's high tech or whatever it might be, it generally causes the tide to lift all boats in terms of quality and technology.
That is true. And in fact, a friend of my daughter's the other week proudly showed me her new Chinese car, which has got a karaoke function. maybe it's not for me, but maybe that's the kind of thing that people want these days.
So the question is whether I spoke to a VW executive some time back, and he said, we will rise to the challenge. We rose to the Japanese, we rose to the Koreans, we will rise to the Chinese. But whether or not this is almost too huge a challenge, given the population base of China and the number of car manufacturers they now have, whether it'll be an overwhelming challenge.
Well, the Volkswagen is an interesting case because they've got all sorts of massive problems, not least of which is their very high German cost base. And they've got several factories, and in fact, they're not alone, but in particular in Germany, where they have got very low levels of utilization, factories that might have been capable of producing 300,000-400,000 vehicles a year and are running at less than 100,000 a year. So those kind of utilization levels are not sustainable in the long run, and the Volkswagen management want to close plants. They may talk about finding alternative solutions, but at the end of the day, they need to cut capacity, and they've moved a lot of production of Volkswagen models to Spain and to the Czech Republic or Slovakia, for example. So they are not just facing the threat of the Chinese, but they're also facing a fundamental cost disadvantage they've got vis-a-vis other people in Europe. And it's interesting that actually there has been talk that one of the possible solutions to the Volkswagen problem in Europe is they may start making Volkswagen models which are actually engineered and developed in China. which would be quite some turnaround, because the first, when the Chinese industry grew up, originally it was based on old Volkswagen technology itself being transferred to China.
Okay, it's a strange new world, a brave or otherwise new world ahead of us. But Ian, thank you very much for joining us. That's Ian Henry, who's an automotive production expert and director of Auto Analysis Consultancy.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.